Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 31st, 2015. A group of experts say journalists play an important role in South Sudan, but some complain many reporters are unprofessional.
All forms of media have been as much a source of confidence in ourselves as a country to build our relationships across ethnic lines, as much as they are sources of divide.
And an analyst with the University of Juba says Kiir's rejection of the IGAD Plus compromise peace plan is unrealistic.
They are rolling a blanket over some facts here. The proposal is not to have Juba free of the army. The two leaders will have the necessary protection. On top of that, there will be small bodies of the military who are meant to secure many of the places in Juba.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Panelists at a debate about the role of media say some journalists do a good job of reporting on the 19-month-long conflict and efforts to attain peace, while others are unprofessional. Experts with the Sword Institute, which sponsored a public lecture on the topic today in Juba, says the media should be independent and objective. Philip Thornaleu has more for VOA from the capital.
Sword Institute chairman Jog Maduni Jog presented the think tank's analysis on the role of media in peace building at Saturday's discussion. Jog says quite a few outlets in the mainstream media, including radio and television stations, websites and newspapers, contributed to peace building. But other outlets have been unprofessional.
All forms of media have been as much a source of confidence in ourselves as a country to build our relationships across ethnic lines, as much as they are sources of divide.
York says the government uses state-owned media to improve its public image and discredit the rebels. York says, since most South Sudanese are illiterate, the information they get about the conflict is rarely first-hand and sometimes one-sided.
What they access is the interpretation of what they have heard. What they access is what the few high school kids with mobile phones that are 3G-enabled can access on Twitter and on Facebook. So what South Sudanese get is third or fourth-hand information.
Jock says this often inaccurate chain of information makes it difficult for individuals to get a clear picture of news development, including reports to reach a peace deal. Atenye Weka Ateng, President Salva Kiir spokesman, says while the South Sudanese media play an important role, most outlets lack the resources to produce high-quality content, which is why many citizens rely on foreign news media for their information.
You'll find that if the law is applied properly, you don't even need the security personnel to arrest anybody. I've read an article written in Canada on the website, and it was published here in Juba Monitor, and it was referring to the President S. Cheta.
Clearly, Ateng says that kind of journalism is not professional. But Kwong Pal, the news editor at iRadio, argues the problem is not a lack of news outlets. He says many reporters prefer working for international media or in the communication realm, serving as public relations or information officers for NGOs because the money is better.
In most cases, we end up employing high school graduates, and because most of our journalists or some people who are qualified, they prefer to work with NGOs because they are paid well there and also because of media environment in South Sudan.
Paul says the mainstream media in the capital and elsewhere across the country have been forced into self-censorship to avoid being harassed. The government instituted has new rules about what journalists can and cannot report on after the fighting broke out. He says many newspapers also resort to copying and pasting online stories from other sources because they do not have enough reporters of their own. SPLA spokesman Colonel Philip Aguirre who also sat on the Saturday's panel, says both the media and public institutions need each other during the peace-building process.
There is no 100% neutral media. It must be owned by somebody. Say, for instance, the church media is owned by the church. And the final impact, the final goal, or the desired outcome, or impact, must be in accordance to the message that the church wants to convey.
The panelists agree that journalists, government agencies, and citizens must all work together to foster an impartial and vibrant media. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleo in Juba.
Leaders of opposition political parties say a transitional government of national unity should be led by non-partisan technocrats rather than ruling SPLM party elites who they say are responsible for dragging South Sudan into war. Members of the National Alliance, an umbrella group of opposition parties, reacted to the IGAD Plus proposed compromise agreement at a news conference today in Juba. Charlton Doki was there and has more for VOA from the capital.
Opposition politicians are praising IGAD for offering the proposed peace deal, but say some of the provisions fail to resolve key issues, such as writing a new constitution. The agreement says a constitutional review committee should draft the permanent constitution, which would then be debated by a constitutional conference. But the National Alliance says the sequencing of the constitutional-making process is reversed. David William is the National Alliance's Secretary for Information.
The National Constitutional Conference should be convened first so as to debate and decide on key values and principles underpinning the Republic, especially the structure of the state, federal, decentralized or unitary, and the system of rules, presidential, parliamentary or mixed. Such a decision can only be taken by the National Constitutional Conference as a representative of the people of South Sudan. Once it has decided on these issues, drafting becomes just a technical matter.
The opposition politicians say it makes no sense to put SPLM party leaders in charge of reforms and holding people accountable for crimes when they are the ones that led the country to war.
Our principal position remains that the task of carrying out reform and accountability be entrusted to non-partisan technocrats. They will form the Council of Ministers headed by a Prime Minister. The function of the head of state shall be exercised by a Supreme Council of 5 members, one of whom shall be a woman.
The group proposes that President Salva Kiir, rebel leader Riek Machar, and Vice President James Wani all serve in the Supreme Council. But they say the IGAD Plus has other problems. For one, it does not include federalism in the proposed compromise agreement. The proposed agreement states in its preamble that the decision as to whether or not to adopt a federal system of governance would be resolved in a permanent constitution. But members of the National Alliance say federalism is a popular demand by South Sudanese.
This important matter cannot be deferred in its entirety to the permanent constitution-making process as came in the preamble. Therefore, it must be reflected by way of effective devolution of more powers to the state during the transition, particularly in the areas of security, judicial administration, law enforcement, fiscal reform, and public sector reforms.
Head of the National Alliance and SPLM-DC leader Lam Akol Ajawin says the parties agreed on the issue of federalism during talks in the Ethiopian town of Bahir Dar, and therefore IGAD mediators should have included it in the proposed agreement.
It must be reflected in the transitional period by way of devolving more powers to the states. You cannot wait until the constitutional making process as written in the preamble, because the constitutional making process is talking about other aspects. Aspects of federalism, like how many states can wait. This is the kind of thing we want, because without that you cannot have services in the states.
William says his group also wants a provision inserted into the deal that specifies the size of government during the interim period.
A central issue of concern to us, and that is the necessity to have a lean government during the transition, so that we can save the money we spend on this huge number of constitution post holders for the purpose of repatriation and rehabilitation of the detainees, reconstruction of the war-affected areas, and on reforms, especially the security sector reform.
The proposed agreement provides for the formation of a broad-based, all-inclusive government of national unity. But Akol says that does not mean the government should be large.
You can have a lean government that is also broad-based. The broad-based is determined about how many parties are involved in the government. If I have 18 ministries, okay, I can accommodate up to even 18 parties. It is broad-based. You may have the current government now, which has 20-something ministries, and it is only one party.
The group also faults the mediators for paying little attention to judicial reforms. They say any peace deal should include a judicial reform committee that would review all legislation governing the judiciary to guarantee its independence. Members of the National Alliance say they will take part in the next round of talks due to get underway August 6th. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
A South Sudanese political analyst says the IGAD Plus proposed deal addresses the root causes of the conflict in South Sudan. Professor Alfred Lokuji says if signed by both warring parties, it will bring an end to the power struggle between President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar. Lokuji says the two leaders have one last chance to prove that they can end the 19-month-long conflict.
I think what is excellent in that document, let me use the right word, is that it puts the warring parties at pains to deal with themselves. That's why they call it a compromise agreement. The proposal is meant to provide a compromise for both sides. So it's not cakes and ice cream for one side and hellfire for another side. This whole business about spinning tires on positions is being dealt away with. The only regret I will say is that it's a very short time frame, 33 months. 90 days of pre-interim period, of the pre-transitional period, and then, of course, 30 months for the transitional period.
The government in Juba has already expressed reservations on the proposal for governance, giving a bigger share of governance in the three states of Jonglei, Upper Nile, and Bentiu. What is your take on that new development?
The reality is that the war is almost covering the whole of Upper Nile. These are all basically considered opposition areas. And so I think what the government is not thinking about is, if that is only a third of the country, how much are they spending there on defense? Isn't it much more than a third? So that would be an indication that the problem is more serious than the geographical descriptor that they want to use. So I think when we look at it soberly, it's just that we have treated all of that area as the problem area. And in fact, government has very little access to many of those areas. The short time that is provided for in this compromise does not mean that this area becomes permanently a separate region. This is a 33-month provision, during which time we put the proper instruments, the proper institutions for running a government, and hopefully conducting an election, and then we get back to normal.
Another issue that Juba is uncomfortable with is the proposal that the capital city, that is Juba, will be demilitarized. And the government is already raising concerns that this is a red line. Let's face it, is that a good proposal?
They are rolling a blanket over some facts here. The proposal is not to have Juba free of the army. The two leaders will have the necessary protection. On top of that, there will be small bodies of the military who are meant to secure many of the places in Juba. But large numbers that are just camped in Juba is what the compromise agreement is attempting to address. You don't want another fight breaking out in the city, surrounded by soldiers, and the unfortunate victimization of people who are not combatants. Juba was militarized into more deaths than should have taken place.
You expressed your reservations that it's a good document, but the time given is very short.
Compromise, yes.
Yeah, the time given is very short. But the patience of the international community is running low, and everybody seems to be not happy with what is happening in South Sudan.
The patience of the ordinary South Sudanese who is completely dependent on the protection of these people is running out. Who is going to be able to come to Riek Machar or to Salva Kiir and tell them, look, you know, you are making me feel unsafe all the time with this threat of war. So the fact that it is the international community that is expressing its concern from the top of a tall tree, you know, does not mean they're the only ones who feel that way. For me, I believe that the time frame, probably 36 months, would have been a bit better. The reasons are these. One, the culture of work here. We've never done anything on time. Or if it's done on time, under extreme pressure. The referendum was done under extreme pressure. We don't have what they call the Protestant work ethic, which is that you just work and work and work until something is done. We don't do that. We like to, you know, go to our homes, go and gossip under trees and have tea. And on top of that, when we have bodies, when we have created committees, you'll find it is more or less the same people all the time in several committees. Now, how do you expect to work if you are under time pressure and you must address several problems in several different committees? If we do that again, you know, things don't look very good.
That's Professor Alfred Lokuji, Deputy Vice Chancellor for Finance and Administration at Juba University. He was speaking to me from Juba earlier today. We are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, breastfeeding campaign kicks off in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state. We will tell you why when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is it ever okay to exaggerate when applying for a job?
No, it's not good to exaggerate yourself, because I feel you need to be real. You need to be yourself. You need to be yourself, like you have to talk what you really are. It's not good like to really pretend for who you're not.
Why should you exaggerate? When you exaggerate applying for a job, no, let's first take this instance. If I'm a manager and you exaggerate at my workplace, it means that whatever you're going to do for me shall be exaggerated, shall not be true. You get it? If you give me records, that means records will be exaggerated. That is in the financial side and even on the output.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The Deputy Governor of Western Equatoria State, Sapana Abui, claims the South Sudan Army is behind all shooting and killings in Western Equatoria State. In the last 2 months, the state experienced insecurity in Mundri, Maridi, and most recently in Yambio Town. That incident left 4 people dead this week. The shooting occurred about 35 miles from Yambio in an area called Birisi, where 2 people were killed on Tuesday. Abui says gunmen believed to be soldiers in the SPLA went back to the area and carried out revenge attacks on Wednesday.
Another gunman suspected also to be a member of the army forces out of the army barracks in Yambio town, to the border where people waited to get local transport. So this gunman covered himself with the raincoat, went there, and then shot down 2 people and injured one another.
Earlier this month, the governor of Western Equatoria State, Joseph Bakasoro, accused SPLA soldier of being unprofessional after nearly 40 youth were arrested in the state without being charged. Today, Abui says the army should be held accountable for the violence taking place in the state.
All these shootings are connected to the armed forces. Remember, the one of Mundri also involved members of the armed force, the same in the region. And this one now also involves the army And it was clear that the one who came and shot people at the bus park came from the army barracks. Those are not called rebels.
Abuyi says they cannot do anything because the national government has authority over the state. He says state officials have yet to find out what actually happened.
What is there are the wrong element? Well, we have to investigate and report to the higher authorities at the national level.
Last month, 11 civilians were killed and hundreds of others fled the area when cattle keepers from neighboring states arrived without permission from locals to graze their cattle in agricultural areas. More than 200 women in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state have formed an advisory board to plan community outreach activities ahead of World Breastfeeding Week next week. Malnutrition is estimated to contribute to more than a third of all child deaths in East Africa, although it's rarely listed as the direct cause, according to the World Health Organization. Poor feeding practices, including inadequate breastfeeding, contribute to malnutrition. Abraham Agot has more for VOA from Awil.
Some 200 women activists and health workers ranging in age from 45 to 60 joined forces to form an advisory board that will train and educate young women of the importance of exclusive breastfeeding for their infants. Since malnutrition is a primary cause of the death of children under the age of 5 in South Sudan and other East African countries, members see the projects as being connected to advocating for children's rights. Research shows breast milk and milk alone is the best form of nutrition for infants for at least the first 6 months. That means no other liquids or solid foods should be fed to the baby. A significant number of South Sudanese women introduce solid foods to their infant before they are ready simply because they don't know any better. Breast milk is known to strengthen the immune system to prevent ear infections and other illnesses. Advocates sang educational songs in local languages and performed dramas in churches, theaters, and on radios to get their message across to young breastfeeding mothers. The advisory board members say they believe Northern Bahr al-Ghazal as one of the highest child malnutrition rates in South Sudan, not only because of the lack of food, but because not enough mothers are breastfeeding. Speaking in Arabic, a member, Achai Arop Deng, says the new association should be seen as part of South Sudan's nation building.
We named ourselves United Women Association of Mading Awil because our word is one, our work is one, and we are staying as one. So we need to promote this country by forming this association to help this country. We women are committed to this country's development. We have been scattered around this country for the sake of war. But now we need to unite ourselves so that we work together.
Mayom Biar works for BRAC International, a Netherlands-based development group focusing on health, education, and agriculture for the world's poorest people. Biar says the group came to Northern Bahr al-Ghazal with the technical support for these women activists because they believe it is the best way to spread messages of good health and nutrition for breastfeeding mothers.
When you breastfeed a child, as per the demand or from the initiations, then the child can really gain the power or can gain a good immunity, and the child can be exclusive breastfeed for the period of 6 months without any a single or liquid that is given to the child. When you do all these things, you make sure that your child is actually good and the child will grow and the child can survive and the immune can fight other diseases.
State Ministry of Health official Dut says his office will work closely with the advisory board to educate women about the importance of breastfeeding.
A child has to be breastfed from 0 months to 6 months without complementary feeding. This is basically encouraging proper immunity to the child, and this will make actually children to become very active in terms of health and then in terms of diseases contractions.
This advisory board is the first of its kind in Northern Barakizal. Health ministry officials say they think the board will continue to help educate women about breastfeeding after this weekend celebrations marking the start of World Breastfeeding Week. For VOA News, I am Abraham McGuth reporting in a week.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's news with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Many journalists do a good job of reporting on the 19-month-old conflict and efforts to attain peace, but others, not so much. That's the conclusion of a group of experts gathered at the Sud Institute in Juba for a public lecture on the role of media in covering the conflict and other news today. Sud Institute Chairman Giacomo Dotjok says quite a few outlets in the mainstream media, including radio and television stations, websites, and newspapers, have contributed to peace building. But he says others have not acted in a professional manner. Jock says they aggravated an already tense situation with sensationalized reporting. A South Sudanese political analyst says the IGAD Plus proposed compromise peace deal addresses the root causes of the conflict in South Sudan. Professor Alfred Lokoji says if signed by both warring parties, the deal will bring an end to the power struggle between President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar. Lokoji says the two leaders have one last chance to prove that they can, in fact, find an end to the long conflict. And finally, Deputy Governor of Western Equatoria State, Sapana Abui, claims the South Sudan Army is behind all shootings and killings in Western Equatoria State. In the last 2 months, the state experienced insecurity in Mundri, Maridi, and most recently in Yambio Town. That incident left 4 people dead this week. The latest shootings happened about 35 miles from Yambio in an area called Barisi, where 2 people were killed on Tuesday. Abui says gunmen believed to be SPLA soldiers went back to the area and carried out revenge attacks on Wednesday. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Carol. And that brings us to the end of our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Apiro by Tofan and DJ Arafati.
That's it, Fende. Yes, Kina Pamashe. That's it. Pararorirorose. 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 Ifo consome. Consome. Voilà la musique qui consomme.
Papa Samuel a teba.
Eh, Gweta Bati.
DJ Eric.
Alleye, mama to, digi digi to, denge nange to, denge nange to, denge nange to. Eteme denge nange to, mama de bise de denge nange to. Denge nange to, denge nange to, denge nange to, mama de bise de denge nange to. Yeteme, yeteme, denge nange to. Suba, wari roroze, tupa na rapate yoro. Voilà la musique qui bouge. Baby chocolat danse, saya, tegere, saya, bobo, saga, fili chena datide, borororirorose,
lieutenant colonel Pecho,
borororirorose, borirororo, aze, 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 borororirorose.
Quand le fer se transforme en acier, Emmanuel Adebayo,
tous les manes qu'on va danser, à rapporter les jouvanes, toute l'Afrique va danser.
We have been listening to Tofan and DJ Arafati with that song, Apiro. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a safe weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
DJ Bombastic.